Karen and I put our 4-year-old and our 2-year-old and our 10-month-old in the back seat of our Toyota Camry, and we left Athens, Georgia. And we just closed on our home on Friday afternoon, and then we had spent the night with Bart and Victoria Scarborough, who were our neighbors directly across the street from us. And I brought a picture that I wanted to share with you. This was our little neighborhood. This was actually taken several months before September 30th, and that's Milbury Inn that you can't see in the one on there on the right. But we were out for a family walk, and behind Karen and the kids in the picture was our home. That's on 1150 Jacob Drive in the Christian Lake neighborhood, located just right outside of Athens in a small North Georgia town called Watkinsville. And you know, moving is never an easy thing to do. Who likes to move, really? Maybe other than my parents. My mom and dad are here today with some of their good friends, Keith and Leah Hall. And my parents have moved a lot in their married lives. And so I didn't tell them I was going to do this, but I'm going to try to kind of retrace their steps for you. Some 50-something years ago, it all began in Rome, Proctorville, Ohio, right? That's where it started. And then it went from there to Memphis, Tennessee, and that's where my older brother was born. And then from there to Roanoke, Virginia, that's where I was born. And then from there to Columbus, Ohio, and that's where my younger brother was born. And then we went from there to Parkersburg, West Virginia, and that's where we grew up. And then in high school, we moved to Dalton, Georgia, and that's where I graduated from high school. And then after all the boys left the house, they even moved from there to Hilton Head, South Carolina. He was called to the mission field and left and went to Hilton Head and was there for a while, and then to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and then most recently, a couple years ago now, moved to Louisville, Kentucky. 8 years ago. That's crazy, isn't it? Now, I know Glenn and Molly have moved way more than that. But other than the McCartys, man, my mom and dad have moved around a lot. In fact, when my parents moved 8 years ago to Louisville, they've even moved again to another house in the same neighborhood in Louisville. So other than maybe Glenn and my parents, the rest of us don't like to move. Especially if you have a house that you really like, you know, and you just get comfortable in it. Karen and I really liked our little home that on Jacob Drive. It was a new neighborhood. We were the first owners, and we actually got to help the builder kind of design the house, and we built it just the way we wanted it. Very comfortable there. But then we received a call to move to a new neighborhood in Lexington, Kentucky, away from the red clay and fire ants and two bluegrass and chiggers. But I remember going out in the front yard of our home and helping our realtor hammer that for sale sign into the ground. And it was hard. It was hard to do in many ways. It would have been just much easier to stay. Those were sweet years for us. And again, our home was just how we wanted it. And I wanted to ask you this morning, can you think of a time when maybe you were called to make a similar kind of move? I mean, how did it feel, if you can recall a time, how did it feel to leave a home that you loved and move into a new neighborhood? Well, I've titled my sermon this morning, "The Church Building is for Sale." And to illustrate this, I've brought in a for sale sign, and I'm going to stick it. This isn't a for sale sign. That's to hold the for sale sign up. But I've got it back here in the closet, and I'm going to talk to you from the other side of this door, which is just really cool. You can still hear me. I'm going to grab the for sale sign and come back in the door. So here I am. I didn't go anywhere too far. But we're going to put the church building up for sale. this morning. And just in case you're really concerned, this company doesn't even exist anymore. But Mark, of course, still sells houses, but just not for Sylvester Craig. I'm going to keep that up there for the next couple of weeks as I continue through this series. Now, I know that we just spent a whole lot of money on the back of this building, and it's really awesome, and we got everything built just like we want it, and we're very comfortable in this building. But I received a call for the Southside Church of Christ on the corner of Nicholasville Road and Dantzler Drive to move to a new neighborhood. And that's to my neighborhood, and that's to your neighborhood. Our mission statement is on the wall behind me. It reads, "Because of Jesus, we seek the lost, embrace the hurting, equip the saved, celebrate God's grace." And I've been focusing on the first part of that statement of seeking the lost. And I've mentioned a couple of times already, if someone were to ask me today what they could do to seek the lost, I would simply encourage them to be a good neighbor. Learn how to be a good neighbor and then do it. It's kind of like State Farm, I guess. Back in August, I asked my good friend Gavin Duerson to teach a class on neighboring. That's actually a word these days. It just means to be a good neighbor. And then I preached a series through Luke 10 on the topic of neighboring. And I've concluded that it's one of the most important things that we can talk about today. I think the combination of that class and the series in Luke 10 kind of helped us thinking in the right direction. Got a lot of great feedback from you on both of those. But if we're honest with ourselves, it'd be really easy for us to say, that was a great class, that was a great series, it made us think about some things, and then absolutely change nothing, right? Well, immediately following the class and preaching through that series, I came across a book, and it's called The Neighboring Church, believe it or not. I've just brought a picture of it, so I wanted to you to see what it looks like. It's called The Neighboring Church, Getting Better at What Jesus Said Matters the Most. And it's an excellent resource, very practical, and I was convicted all over again by the words of the book about the importance of neighboring. So instead of moving on to another part of the mission statement, I wanted to stop here again. And I wanted to preach another series on neighboring and focus on neighboring and use this book as a resource to the series and as a guide. Now that our life groups are meeting regularly, it also give our people the opportunity they didn't have several weeks ago to talk and pray about neighboring in our groups. You know, if you look at Scripture, there's a theology of neighboring that runs throughout the Bible. I have a final image I want you to put up, and just leave that up there for a while. You can, if you follow the narrative of Scripture, you see this theology of neighboring move throughout the story. Beginning in Genesis chapter 1, God was the original, the very first, if you will, good neighbor. Genesis 1 and 2 is really an amazing text because God created the Garden of Eden, and it was a neighborhood where God and man could dwell together. The verses that are listed up here, 1 and 2 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And this wonderful creation, this garden that God created, he didn't create just a place for man to live. He created a place where man could live with him. And that's important. The Garden of Eden was like no other neighborhood. I love the verse in Genesis 3:8 that reads that the man and wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's such a wonderful image. It describes the unique community that God had with man in the garden. But unfortunately, you know the story. Disobedience and distrust led to a breakdown in our relationship and a deterioration of the neighborhood. Sin caused the old neighborhood to go to pot, as my dad would say. We lost our home and we had to move out of the neighborhood. But the good news is that God did not stay in the garden either. And from Genesis 3 forward, God has been working to reconnect with us. God has been working to once again be our neighbors. There's been a relational movement. Each one of these arrows here on this image, it represents a movement of God closer and closer to a relationship with his people. It points to a trajectory of God drawing closer and closer to man. In Exodus 19, God told Moses to meet with him on top of a mountain. No one else could come, but God would be there. In 19:9, the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." And so God met with Moses up on top of a mountain. And then God instructed his people to build the tabernacle where he could dwell in Exodus 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Later, Solomon built a permanent home for God, the temple, where the priest would go in once a year on behalf of all the people. Nobody else could be in the presence of God and live. The prophets promised, however, that God was continually moving closer. He would come in the form of a redeemer and a restorer. His name would even mean God with us. We sang about that this morning. And then the Gospel of John describes the next big move in John chapter 1 and verse 14 in the verses that Zach read for us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I don't know if you've read Eugene Peterson's The Message version of John 1. I love how it reads this verse in particular. It reads, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." And I love that. That's it. That phrase describes the relational movement God has been on better than anything else. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And it's my heart for that phrase to be our challenge as a church, to be our call to move into our neighborhoods. John 1, verse 14, describes the movement of Jesus. The Word left the place of God and moved into the neighborhood. But my question for us as a church this morning is, does that phrase best describe the movement of the church? It describes the movement and activity of Jesus, but does it describe the movement and activity of the church? Think about this. We left our neighborhoods this morning to come to the place of God to study the Word. And that's important. Not trying to diminish what we're wanting to accomplish in this time together this morning. There's a time to equip the saints. There's a need to gather together to celebrate God's grace. It's just that I don't think the Word left the place of God and moved into the neighborhood only so we could leave our neighborhoods to come to the place of God to study the Word. And that the final arrow, just kind of tracking this movement of God, with God moving into our neighborhood, it was close, but it wasn't close enough. So he moved in as close as possible. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul said, "Don't you know that you yourselves are the temple of God, and that God's Spirit dwells inside of you? He has even taken up residence in the neighborhood of our hearts." Now, this is a relational movement. And the call, the encouragement to us as a church is to lean into this relational way of life and to follow this same movement of God. I've become convinced in my study of God's Word that the love of God will always push us closer to the lives of our neighbors. It will never take us away from the lives of our neighbors. You know, what a wonderful testimony that we got to hear last week that Kevin shared with us about what God has called Greg and Kathy Pauly to do as they've moved into a neighborhood. Man, what a wonderful illustration of the Word becoming flesh and blood and moving into a neighborhood to be the presence of God, to be the hands and the feet, to be the love of God in the neighborhood there just right outside of Frankfurt. You know, if you were to study church growth over the last couple of decades, and I have no idea why you would, but just for instance, if you were to, I think you'll relate as I share these examples, you're going to find two prominent models for growth in the church over the last couple of decades. The first one is there's an attractional model. For many years, and for some churches still, there's this idea that if you have great programs, and you have relevant worship, and you have really cool places to meet, like maybe an old Kmart, you know, that you make into a place of worship, people will come to us. It's sort of the field of dreams, right? Mentality, approach that says, if you build it, they will come. If you have a great youth program, if you have this incredible children's ministry, if your worship is relevant and sounds like, you know, like worship that people have heard before, songs that people sing, and if you build this cool place, and then people will come. And there's that model has borne fruit. It's an attractional model that has been prominent in the church. A second model that you find is the missional model. This is the idea that kind of shifts from an internal focus to an external focus. It's a movement to go outside of the four walls of the building. You know, during the past 15 years, Southside has been very intentional, very purposeful about this more kind of missional model, making this move kind of outside the four walls. And man, some really cool ministry has come to our church family just because of that movement with the ministry at the Hope Lodge and the Ronald McDonald House and the ministry with our Friends Speak. All of that's kind of been born out of this idea of just being missional. I mean, you know, just having a mission statement, right? Kind of comes out of that mentality of wanting to be a more missional people. Well, the model that I want to call us to as a church this morning is not an attractional one. It's not a missional one. But It's an incarnational one. That's why I'd asked Gregory in our worship time this morning to sing songs about the incarnation. Because it's an incarnational model that I want to call us to as a church. The church becoming flesh and blood and moving into our neighborhoods. Being the church where we live. It's a highly relational model. And it's one that I think best reflects how God has reached us. You know, this is the point. This is my point for having the for sale sign up here this morning. It's not really, I'm not really wanting to put our new building on the market this morning. But I wanted to illustrate something to us. I'd like for it to illustrate a move from the building here being the main place where ministry happens to our neighborhoods being the main place where ministry happens. Let me put it this way. We do not need another church gathering as much as we need a church scattering. And this morning, I stand before you as one of the servant leaders of this church family. And I publicly repent of living as if this building is the only place where relationships matter. Too often, I've been nothing more than a commuter in my own neighborhood, politely waving to my neighbors from my car as I drive past them going to the only place where relationships matter in my life. And my family's going to do something about it. And we would love for you all to join us. We are going to follow the relational movement of God and move back into our neighborhood. Look, sociologists who are way more intelligent than me, who study religion for a living, say that our neighbors are not going to come to church anymore anyway. So we have to go to them. We have to start going to them and stop asking them to come here. And after all, we don't want people to come to church anyway. We want people to come to Christ, right? And if people come to Christ, then they'll want to come to church, but not the other way around. And look, this is not a call to Africa or some third world country. It's a call to your neighborhood. It's not a call to a straw hut with dirt floor, but to your house, to your apartment, to your dorm room. Yet, I humbly acknowledge, you know, having been blessed with the opportunity to travel all over the world to share the gospel, that sometimes it's easier to go to the other side of the world than it is to simply walk across the street to love your neighbor. So Lord, help us as a body, as a family, to follow in your footsteps. For we see your footprints leading us into our neighborhoods. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, to this. I'm thankful this morning to be the child of a God who loves people so much. And I pray, Father, as we look to become a people who follow in your way. I think about the early church. They were called the way. And that's who we want to be. We want a people who follow in your way, and we want to follow in this same trajectory, the same movement, this relational movement of moving into our neighborhoods. To literally love our neighbor. To love the one that's on the right of us and on the left of us and across the street. Maybe the one that lives in the apartment above us or below us. Perhaps it's the guy in our hall in our dorm that we notice nobody else ever talks to. And Father, we pray that we can be a people that move in the same way that you have moved by sending your one and only into our neighborhood. Lord, thank you for your love for us. May we love others as you love us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, boy, it's good. It's good to be a part of a church family that loves Jesus Christ. You know, it's good to be a part of a church family that knows that we are loved by God and knows that we have a God who puts no obligation on us, but who calls us out of his great love to love our neighbors. What a blessing. And I pray that we'll go this week and do that. Pray that God will empower us and encourage us to do that in some unique ways. And I look forward to seeing this relational movement of the Spirit in our church family. If there's anybody here today who has maybe been around God, who knows about God, who has been introduced to God, but has never allowed this movement of God into their heart, who is yet to allow the creator of the universe to place residence, to set up in the neighborhood of your heart, we would love for you to open up your heart to Christ today and to place your faith in him and to be baptized into Christ this morning. We would love to be a part of that with you this morning. We also have some folks in the back to pray. If you have a prayer need or concern, then you want some prayer this morning. Let's stand together and sing.